We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's all on the line for college football stars.
A 92-yard touchdown pass. Michael Penix.
Ball's going left. Ball's going scoring. Bo does! What Bo does? Bo Nix.
This is a Draft Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Celebrating 35 years of fitness with a party on Tuesday, April 30th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Aloha, Beaverton, Division Center, and Vancouver Plaza.
Draft Week with Danny and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Hour number two, draft day. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it is on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan, or twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. Welcome, everybody. Draft coming up. We are four hours away from the NFL draft.
Ding, 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 ding.
Roger Goodell in Detroit. It's weird that it's in Detroit.
Do you like that they move it around?
Yeah, but it just, but Detroit feels weird. Not going to lie. It's just like, oh, okay. Detroit's on the up and up, though. Things are looking up for Detroit.
With that rich NFL history.
Well, you can't go any lower.
Success.
Well, they do have the history. Just the success part is not quite there.
That's what's missing.
It's not quite there. I want to see Dan Campbell, like, announce the pick shirtless. Do you think they can do that? Like, he just sits there like, all right, who we're taking, brother? We're going to get Brock Bowers, brother, and then just kind of flex on everybody. We're going to run two tight ends with LaPorta and Bowers, brother. You got to have him somehow in it.
Yeah, I'm okay with this.
Let's do it. One thing that is continuing to be a very odd storyline out of the NFL draft is Marvin Harrison Jr. We talked last week about his whole process of the draft. Didn't work out at the combine, didn't do private workouts, never ran a 40, has only just met with teams. It's getting even a little bit more strange now because, according to Adam Schefter, Marvin Harrison Jr. has not signed the preliminary NFLPA licensing agreement, which is what all draftees, all NFL players do, because that licensing agreement allows you to be paid for your jersey sales. Mm-hmm. Your
Madden
when you're on the game, any royalties that you get.
And any other league advertisements that use your likeness.
So whichever team drafts Marvin Harrison Jr. tonight, they will not be selling his jersey on their website.
No.
Because at every step, Marvin Harrison Jr. is doing the complete opposite of what literally every other draftee does.
And this is why, again, I don't care about the talent. The crazy to talent scale gets skewed on wide receivers, and I don't want to deal with Justin Jefferson. I don't want to deal with Stephon Diggs. Give me Ja'Marr Chase. Give me Mike Evans. Yeah. Give me, in this draft, Rome Odunze. Give me the normal dude.
But what is so bizarre about Marvin Harrison Jr. throughout this entire process is the fact that that wasn't a guy who was ever showing bad body language during games. He was never throwing fits. His dad even said, he was asked, what is one thing that you wish you could pass along to your son? And he said, complain for the football. Marvin Harrison Jr. would always be like, throw me the damn ball. Mm-hmm. Like, he would tell Peyton Manning, like, throw me the ball. Marvin Harrison Jr. does not do that. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have that quality about him. And, like, everything that you've heard out of Ohio State is like he was quiet, hard worker, obviously dynamic player.
Sure.
Never an issue with him in the locker room or off the field. Yet he's had the most bizarre NFL pre-draft that I can remember. Because, I mean, this is like, it's not like Johnny Manziel or Baker Mayfield trying to go out and do a PR campaign about why they're not crazy.
Yes.
This is a guy that...
Let me show you how I'm crazy.
...has never had anything wrong. And all of a sudden, you're like, wait.
There's a line we can draw here to somebody else very similar that was drafted very highly in the NBA. John Morant. John Morant coming out in his draft, there was no one. I mean... no one with a negative thing to say about him. Unbelievable worker, great kid, great family, does all the right things, at the right place, at the right time, works his butt off, team first guy, all those things. Then the money got in.
Right.
And then it got squirrely, and I wonder if the money and the power and the stuff like that, this is the first time in his life he's had real power.
But at the same time, he grew up with money.
Again,
he was at a power program like Ohio State. He wasn't coming from Murray State?
No, yeah, Murray State.
Murray State, where Ja came from. He was under the microscope the whole time.
Sure.
And he's been under the microscope his entire career as a highly touted recruit.
And this is the first time he has performed
at a ridiculously high level. He cashed in on NIL. Like, if you look at the numbers at what Ohio State is paying guys for NIL,
yeah,
like, it's
astronomical.
Bonkers, yeah. Dude. I think their football team is averaging something like $175,000 per player. Yeah. Averaging.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
What he said, it was like, what, something like $18 million for the whole team or something like that?
So, yeah, it was $13 for the new, whether it's recruits and, it was like $13 million for recruits and... transfer portal guys, and then it was something like $30 million for the roster overall when you take other years and then the additions to their coaching staff that they've had, where you're paying Chip Kelly, you're paying Knowles, a buttload of money now. Like, it's like this Ohio State football team is like a $30 million
roster.
Yeah, team with coaching staff and roster included. Like, it is
the thing about Marvin Harrison,
crazy.
Okay, if all those things are true and now he's doing this, what's the difference? What's changed?
I
would say it's the power structure.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know what it is about him. Maybe he's just maybe he's trying too hard not to be the diva wide receiver, and it's just coming off as completely diva. Like, I'm not. I'm just going to be so far in the background. I'm not even doing the merchandising. Like, pulling the Arch Manning. I just want to focus on football. I don't want to be in the NCAA football game anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, you're not actually in the game.
Yeah, right.
You know, but the money and the power thing, this NFLPA thing is completely counter to that because he's not getting any money.
Not to
it's taking money out of his pocketbook and he won't be able to make money off of it.
It is in that vein, but controlling the interest and selling that likeness through another sponsorship where it's directly and not handled. It's a power thing. Charles Barkley did the same thing. Charles Barkley is not in a single NBA 2K game because he was never a member of the union. Barry Bonds is not in a single Major League Baseball game because he was not in the union. Those are guys, it's very, very, very rare this happens. But also, each one of those guys, power structure, control.
Well, those guys were also
really good.
Bona fide Hall of Famers.
Yes.
Even though Barry Bonds deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
But again, nut jobs early in their careers.
Yeah.
We're obsessed with controlling power.
And also guys, though, that they had all of the off the field issues.
Sure. Marvin doesn't have it. But again,
and that's the weird thing.
The power thing is real. And the other thing about those guys, all the guys that have done this that I can think of off the top of my head, Bo Jackson was another one, but his was a little bit different because of the injuries. But both Barkley and Bonds forced their way out of teams. Weren't happy with where they were and were very disjointed and problematic in their mid-careers.
That is something you could 100% see. Like, and this is where you sit there and you go, how big of red flags are these? Because the thing that is the most important in the NFL...
It's a pirate ship.
Is... Well, no, because what's the most important thing in the NFL? Performing on Sunday.
Sure.
Like, you're sitting there and you're saying, like, all these are red flags. Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Brown. The most crazy of all the crazy that you could possibly get. Yet team after team after team
the crazy
was
to
willing
production scale.
To roll mm-hmm. the dice because of how good he is. Mm-hmm. And that's what teams are probably going to be weighing right now. And look, there's no doubt why you see, you know, all of these leaks from, hey, there's several teams that have Malik Nabers above mm-hmm. Marvin Harrison Jr. There's teams that have Roma Dunze above Marvin Harrison Jr. There is no doubt that this is playing a role into it because he's a different cat and he's marching to the beat of his own drum. And that can be a wildly successful attribute for a guy to have. Mm-hmm. But it can also be to his detriment.
Yes. Rookie scale, I'm in. I don't want that second contract.
Well, that's why 27% of wide receivers that are drafted in the first uh-huh. round are signed to a second deal with their team. Yeah. The lowest of any position yeah. in the NFL draft.
I don't want him on the second contract unless something drastically changes.
All right. Hey, let's get to, there's a little news out of the Blazer world, in the Blazer orbit.
Hmm.
It's something that we should all be keeping an eye on. Because a big announcement was made today. Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Draft Week with Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness.
On 1080 The Fan.
Well, if you are frustrated with having to pay for a super duper platinum package on Root TV to watch the Portland Trailblazers, you're not alone. A lot of people feel that way, including fans of the Seattle Kraken. And today, an announcement was made by KONG Kong and King 5 up in Seattle, along with KGW, yes. Channel 8, down here in Portland.
That's all Tegna.
Tegna Broadcasting, that the Seattle Kraken will be leaving Root next season and heading to
Tegna.
Yep. Oh, it says here TNGA. TNGA. That's a typo.
Yeah,
come on. Tegna will be broadcasting the Seattle Kraken along with Amazon Prime Video mm-hmm. for viewers in three states, Oregon included, where they're ditching Root. They're getting out. They're going to go over broadcast television. And we have seen this, the slow bleed of the RSNs in the world of baseball. Look, Seattle Mariners, they claim that they had to cut back on their spending on their roster because of the profits of Root going down.
Because they own Root wholly now.
And so that was their little, well, we can't spend all this money anymore.
Even though they're worth billions.
But they're pulling back because the regional sports networks are not as profitable as they once were. We have heard a lot of the slow leaks that this isn't good for RSNs around mm-hmm. the country. Major League Baseball subsidizing a handful of markets, that the Diamond Sports, which have gone under to where they're doing in-house broadcasts now for a lot of the MLB teams. And now we may be seeing the crack in the first to leave route. Could there be more?
Yeah, I wrote about this back on April 1st, so almost a month ago, that the Portland Trailblazers are evaluating their partnership with Root Sports. And that was with knowing that this was coming for the Kraken. The Kraken, they were just as frustrated with their partnership with Root as the Portland Trailblazers are in their inability to be in households. And in my discussions with stakeholders with the Blazers, they have said and they have vowed that this will not happen again.
I think that the encouraging part that we're seeing, whether it's Utah Jazz, the Phoenix Suns, who went to over-the-air broadcasts and local television broadcast partners, and then streaming games as well with their own apparatus, that soft launch really opens up the floodgates for the Portland Trailblazers to do the same thing here. And the fact that the Kraken will be on KGW here locally. Now we know that our local stations, they are motivated to have sports programming.
Yes.
And it's not, it should be, we should use caution here that not every game will be on KGW. It could be on one of their, you know, ancillary signals.
They have what's called a dot two.
Yeah, an ancillary signal that you can just go and... But I wonder where that is, like, if you have, you know, Comcast or you have DirecTV.
It does show.
It does show on
there? If you look
I've
on the actual, like, instead of looking on 702, look at 2.
Oh, okay.
And it'll be there.
So will it be in HD?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that is one of the things that is a... this could be a big hurdle to clear with getting into more homes.
Yeah.
And really the accessibility for everybody just to watch the Portland Trailblazers if they go down this route. And now it then becomes, all right, who's the partner that they pair up with?
Yeah, and that's going to be an interesting thing. And in discussions that I've had with how this would end up going or might end up going is that the Blazers are prioritizing being in homes no matter what it is. If you think about the legality of this, and this is getting super inside baseball, the Blazers and Root still have an active contract through this year, which means Root Sport owes the Trailblazers money to broadcast their games. So that would mean either they need to come to an agreement on a buyout of sorts, or the Blazers just wash their hands of the deal and kind of take it in the shorts, which in discussions I've had, I think that they're more likely to just call it a wash and not get maybe the money that they're owed to make sure that they have the broadcast available.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a couple things at play here that give the Blazers an advantage. One is that Blazer Broadcasting is in-house for television and radio.
They don't need to go somewhere else for it.
They've been producing their own broadcasts for years, which means cameramen, producers, directors, you know.
The entire apparatus.
They hire all of those people out. And so they don't need to go and rehire everybody and learn how to do TV.
No, exactly.
And that makes it a lot easier to rip that Band-Aid off and be like, okay, we can do this clean break. The other thing is, though, that, like, although Root does owe them money, if they go to an over-the-air partnership, they're going to be getting money from them, and then they're going to be getting advertising dollars because you're inherently in more homes.
That's the thing about it. And this is this is something that happened with the Phoenix Suns. They're using this as a market. They're not, the Suns themselves are not getting much money on the over-the-air deals. And if the Blazers go to this model, they will get substantially less money in a contract for the broadcast rights. What you are trying to do is what the Suns did, which is their ratings have increased over 200%.
Yeah, and then you get more ad dollars.
And that's where you make the money up over the back end, and you get more people invested in the team, which is circular in the sense of it brings in more sponsorship dollars, it brings in bigger sponsorships. Like, you take a look at the Blazers right now, if you look at how things broke out, they weren't generating a rating because they were in so few homes.
And the product really wasn't.
Even beyond that, beyond the product, you can say that all you want. The attendance was still middle of the league.
Yep.
They weren't like 30th in attendance. This isn't nobody cares. It was nobody cared enough to go search for it. And that's the thing that I've looked at case studies at broadcasting around this kind of stuff in the sense that if you make it hard or if it is made harder to find your product, people will not search for it. The only time that that...
Well, yeah. That's human nature.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. And so and it, the only time that goes any further than that is if you are a title contender, where a perfect example was the Denver Nuggets last year, who were on altitude, who were available in 10% of homes in Colorado.
Yeah, that's brutal. That's absolutely brutal.
But they did whatever they... Fans would do whatever they could because they were a contender to go search them out. So also, they would find a way to ride the high seas.
Which is also... where the Blazers can make more money on this too is streaming.
And this is something
they own their streaming rights. They could be able to charge season pass, very similar to what the Utah Jazz have done.
Jazz Plus.
And the Jazz, you know, you don't have to even, and this could be one of the issues that, that the Blazers run into, right? Is Tegna in every single region of the state of Oregon? Right? It's in Portland,
yeah.
Right? And this, I'm just using that as an example,
yes.
Because that's what the Kraken did, right?
Yes.
Is that they are in Portland, but what about the fans in Medford, Bend,
Klamath Falls,
Pendleton,
Astoria?
Yeah. How are you being able to distribute the product out to everybody else that may not have one of the massive conglomerates, whether it's, you know, Nexstar, Tegna, or Sinclair.
Sinclair, which is Fox. So you go down.
Or K2.
K2. Gray is Fox.
Yeah.
So the thing about this is they'll probably have to do some sort of patchwork to cover their entire region, which means even if Coin is the main rights holder or Fox is the main rights holder, it doesn't mean you may not be on the beach and watch it on KGW or the KGW affiliate in that region because of the nature of over the air. That's just kind of how that stuff works out. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this kind of stuff parses out because the regionality and the topography of the state makes it difficult for over the air. It's not Arizona, which with the exception of the high desert is a flat plain where you can have a over-the-air signal that's very easy to distribute over a large range. So that part of it is going to be interesting to see how that kind of gets worked out if they go down this path. But on the direct-to-consumer streaming part of this, this is something the Blazers have wanted to do for years.
Like Blazer Vision.
This goes all the way back to Blazer Vision. So,
and ASN, Action Sports Network!
This is, shout-out ASN.
That's right.
Great, great network. But You go back to that period, they're going to, whatever they end up doing, they will have some version of that.
The first chink in the armor was the Kraken today.
Yeah, I mean...
They bolt from Root, they are gone from Root now, and now we all move forward with, all right, what does this mean for the Portland Trail Blazers? And what it will likely mean is that they gone. And it's for the betterment of the fans. Like, this has been this year was a disaster.
Yes.
When they went
the
up to the platinum
package, would believe it too.
It was absolutely brutal to fans.
Yes, I mean I have the numbers that back that up. The rate hike from Comcast going into the NBA season cost the Blazers 66% of their Comcast subscribers and 50% of their overall cable base.
Boof. And I wonder how many fans, like locally, like getting the numbers on how many people are Xfinity, DirecTV, Dish, and then what happens mm-hmm. now that, look, for a lot of local sports fans, whether you're an Oregon fan, whether you're a Washington fan that lives in the area, you probably were holding on to, you know, Comcast because of the Pac-12 network and because of Root for the Blazers, Kraken, Mariners, Ducks, Huskies. Big Ten Network, widely distributed mm-hmm. because of its partnership with Fox.
On every platform.
I wonder if now what you're going to see is a lot of people saying it is far more reasonable for us to cut the cord, go straight to streaming, because we can get everything that we want now.
Or if you're on, you know, YouTube TV or Hulu, you can keep what you have and go to over the air.
There we go.
And that's the
thing. Get your HD antennas up.
Yeah, that's what the Trailblazers have said for months now, is that they are invested in, number one, not letting this happen again. And number two, getting their product. Look, you could be the most staunch Jody Allen hater on the face of the planet. You're an idiot if you think she doesn't want the product available to people.
Yeah.
Because even if she's trying to strip this thing down and go full major league, you want it available to everybody as much as possible.
Yeah. And although it may be a short term, in this, as you're kind of framing it, it's a short term loss financially.
Yes.
But long term, they could make a whole heck of a lot more money.
And the big thing about this, and I've heard this in discussions with the NFL deal, is that the streaming stuff, the data. I talked to somebody that was helping work on with the NFL deal, and they said that the NFL, gun to their head, they would have taken half the amount of money that they got from the rights holders if they knew exactly what they were going to get from the data that they were getting from Amazon and from Peacock, because the data to them, the marketing data that they sell for their commercials and stuff like that, is worth infinitely more than the direct rights deals that they're getting.
You're living right. You're harvesting your own land at that point.
Exactly. So that part of it is just a massive, massive deal. So if you're a Blazers fan, I would say with pretty strong conviction that the Blazers are looking strongly at something along these lines. So,
good.
Be prepared for something Woo-hoo! Along these lines and a change coming a lot sooner than you think.
Perfect.
So, all right, coming up next is our worst day on the web. You know, sometimes you give your money to a prince in Zaire, and sometimes you need to get it back. Worst day on the web. But first, here's the big Kahuna at the Sports Center update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
This is Draft Week with Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness.
On 1080 The Fan. It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
Scam stories are never fun. But they can be.
Okay.
Ann Mayers, a 75-year-old woman, had been scammed out of money and owed her sister and a friend a combined $70,000.
Oh, my gosh.
So she decided that in order to repay her sister and a friend, man, a friend that can loan you $65,000 is one hell of a friend.
Solid.
She decided to go to a bank, the R Group Financial Credit Union Bank, and demanded to tell her turn over some of the bank's cash while brandishing a gun.
That's called robbing a bank, Bob.
It solves problems. Here's the
I don't think it does. I think robbing a bank creates more problems.
You're not
for
wrong
you.
Because when she walked away with $500.
Well, only $64,500 more to go.
Yeah, that sounds like less than she was asking for.
She's got a $100,000 bail.
Well, I wonder if that friend's going to bail her out now.
Whoops.
Golly. The whole geriatric bank robbing is always an interesting one. Didn't we have a serial bank robber around here who was an old man?
Mm-hmm.
He'd just walk in and just be like, give me all your money.
Unless it's changed, one of the most robbed banks in the country is the Key Bank in Beaverton.
All right.
Hilariously.
Downtown Beaverton? Was that like 3rd and Watson or so?
Yes. Yeah. And hilariously, how close is that, Jeff, to the Beaverton Police Department?
Very close. Well, we're talking 8-ish blocks, I'm
10.
Guessing.
But
half
still.
Half mile or so.
But still.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's on the same street, essentially.
Yes. Yeah. It's it's super close.
I don't know why that one is robbed so much, but I have a friend who works for the Beaverton Police Department. He told me, in the nation, it's like one of the highest ranked banks for bank robbery.
I mean, I guess, I don't know, escapability? You got some neighborhoods around there, go duck into some backyards.
Hide them in plain sight.
I mean, right? But if you ever walk in there and you wonder why, that's weird. Why does this Key Bank have bulletproof glass?
But you're also like right around like the Beaverton City Park there too. There are big wide open spaces. So yeah, it's like, yeah, where are you trying to run to?
But also like, why would you think that place is the one that has like the money?
I mean, it's a bank, but
It's just such an odd one.
They all got the money.
I took criminology class when I was in college.
Figure out how to get away with it?
No, one of our professors told us a story, though, of how there were some, like a house of like crim majors who all lived together. And he said that they all of a sudden stopped showing up to class. And there was like, what happened? Where are they? Well, turns out these criminology majors, they used the criminology major to become criminals, and they robbed a bank, and they left the house just like they had their plans on how they're going to rob the bank in their house. They just robbed the bank up and left, and they just left everything there. They ended up getting caught.
No way.
Weird.
Yeah, they ended up getting caught. Yeah. They were able to find them pretty easy. Probably should have tied up those loose ends and not left the plans at their house.
Did they never read Hansel and Gretel?
Well,
leaving the breadcrumbs.
My question was, now, do you feel like you didn't do your job as a criminology professor?
Right?
Because they didn't. They obviously were not equipped well enough to pull this off.
I would be so pissed if I was their teacher.
Did I not teach you better? Yeah.
Well, look, once you're in college, it's not on the instructor necessarily. It's on the willingness of the student to learn.
Wasn't that the premise of How to Get Away with a Murder?
In school?
No, that show.
The television show?
Yeah, How to Get Away with Murder. Wasn't she a teacher?
Never seen it.
I forget. I think so. That was a Shonda Rhimes joint, right?
Can't say I've ever seen it. Viola Davis.
There we go.
That's who it was.
Hey, Academy Award winner.
Yeah.
That's actually what I think kind of brought her to the forefront.
I watched
that
first season, and that was about it.
Big in the zeitgeist there for a while, but it was never my thing. But I could have swore like she was a professor or something like along those lines.
Yes. Oh. I believe you're right.
But the scam here is that apparently she was scammed into giving away money to somebody who said they needed it for U.S. Customs. So this sounds like a 90-day fiancé situation where she may have had somebody that, you know.
Old's looking for companionship, mm-hmm. man. Gets them all the time.
If it's not the prince, then it's the Prince Charming.
Yep, that's right. Dang, that sucks, man.
But yeah, that also there's further evidence that shows that she was planning this because she apparently swapped license plates on her car and removed bumper stickers that would have made her vehicle easily identifiable.
Ruh-roh.
So she wasn't a complete dummy. She just got no money.
Not completely dumb, just mostly?
Just mostly.
Okay. Well, hey.
Maybe what if she was like, it wasn't me. Somebody used an old person mask. That's all I can think of here.
It's like in Point Break. No, it was the president's.
Yeah, no, it was Mrs. Nixon. Yeah, I swear.
It was Nixon and Reagan.
Totally, definitely not me. Not me at all. Okay. So that was the original loan was for the customs situation. That's what you're saying?
No.
Or this is the bank robbery.
No,
was.
No. Here's where
I'm confused with this woman
and
where the money.
There's no line of how much money she lost to this person for the U.S. Customs. She borrowed $5,000 from her sister and $65,000 from a friend.
Okay.
She was robbing a bank to get the money to pay them back.
Okay, so we don't know how much went
to the $500 from the bank.
That's not a good come up.
You don't get the till, lady.
No.
You get the vault.
No. Did you ever take the bank on yesterday's what I proposed to you do last night for the Miami Heat and Boston Celtics game with the put $10 on the Heat to win?
Oh no.
Oh, you could have stole that money from
him. I know.
I was like, stealing money, or you could have gotten the Heat and just kind of, if they lost, you could have jabbed them. But at the same time, you could have made money.
Plus 1,300 would have been pretty good. Yeah. Absolutely insane shooting.
Ah, yeah, that was an infuriating game.
Do you want to talk about that one?
We can, yeah.
Okay, let's go there next.
Yeah, we can do that.
Well, we'll get to the absolute insanity that was the Miami Heat last night against the Boston Celtics.
Crazy.
In which... there's more to take away from that game than just knocking down a lot of threes. Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan.
This is Draft Week with Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness.
On 1080 The Fan.
After the first quarter of last night's Heat-Celtics game, the Heat led by one. That was after hitting seven threes in the quarter.
They were absolutely in fuego. You could say the Heat were hot behind the arc.
It was absolutely insane as they continued to do it. They were, I believe, 12 of 20 or 11 of 20 going in at the half.
Bonkers,
they would hit 23 of 43, breaking their franchise record of 20 made threes in a game in the playoffs by three.
Think about that. They shot 53.5% from beyond the arc.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was no player on their team under 50% from, one.
Right.
One. And Bam Adebayo and Duncan Robinson. Yeah. Like, outside of that, Tyler Hero, 6 of 11. Jaime Jaquez, 3 of 6. Mm-hmm. Caleb Martin, 5 of 6. Nikola Jovic, 3 of 4. Hey, how about that? Highsmith, 3 of 5. The trade package actually shot really well.
No, they did.
One game. Yeah. One game. One game.
They did. They shot really well. And the thing about this is, as much as the three-point variance, and it very much is three-point variance, that's how this works. Mm. Boston, I did a podcast with the Knicks film school guys. I want to say back in January before the Blazers and Knicks played. And I said that the Knicks healthy present the most problems to the Celtics going forward because I figured stylistically they could play basically any version. When I watched Boston in person here, as great as they looked, I said it that night, they know how to do one thing and one thing only. Drive and kick, drive and kick, drive and kick, drive and kick. And if you take them out of drive and kick, they don't know what to do because they're robots. They're drive and kick robots. And they were taken out of that because the Heat went into a zone and a matchup zone that allowed them to switch some things, but also they didn't dig down on anything. It was like, screw it, we'll live with Porzingis post-ups. We'll live with Al Horford post-ups. You can't beat us one-on-one. And that's why that's what they showed. Because Jaylen Brown, not a great handle. Jason Tatum will settle for jump shots. This whole team is predicated on drive and kick. And if there's a zone there walling that off and stopping the drive to begin with, or just saying, if they beat us, let them beat us at the rim, not at three. They don't have a counterpunch.
Even without that counterpunch, though, the Miami Heat, on volume, shoot 53% from the field, and the Celtics still were in the game.
Yes, and that's the terrifying thing is, if you do the math here, 23 threes to 12 threes, that is a 33-point swing. That is a massive swing in points. They won by 10.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. And what is also, I mean, give Heat credit, 67% of their made baskets were assisted.
Mm-hmm.
They had 25 assists on 37 made buckets last night.
The Celtics were piss poor defensively.
The Miami Heat made them pay, and, you know, they did look out of sorts and kind of disjointed offensively for Boston because they were uncomfortable.
Yes. And you have to give Miami that credit.
They still had a shot. Yeah. They were in the game.
Yes.
They were in the game. Now, home court has been stolen, though. Mm-hmm. The series officially has begun. And they're going to head back to Miami. And look, role players always play better.
At home.
At home. And do we have Boston in a fight?
I don't know. I don't know if you're going to get a game where Porzingis goes 1 of 9 and Holiday goes 4 of 12. So those guys combine for 4 of 22.
And also, when's the last time a team in the NBA won a series, not a game, won a series playing predominantly zone?
Last year, the Miami Heat against the Boston Celtics.
Against the Boston Celtics when they didn't have a dribbler?
Just saying. It's there. I don't think Miami's going to win this series because the three-point variance is a real thing. But there is as the eyebrows go up because when we went into this, everybody wants to say Boston and all this. What was the one thing I said about Boston? I don't trust them.
No.
I don't trust them.
They have to win in the playoffs. Yes. Like if they melt down here, everybody goes.
Joe Mazzulla's, he's getting launched into the sun.
Absolutely.
And Spo ran circles around him last night, which Spo does to everyone, but he ran circles around him last night. They did not have a counter. They didn't have an adjustment to what they wanted to do offensively. They looked disjointed, and all they did was go one-on-one and settle over and over and over again. And I'm very interested to see what that looks like because there were moments last night where they're going to the middle of the floor on those zone setups. What you want to do? You want to flash middle. You got a 7'3" guy in Porzingis, but they single covered him. He went 1 for 9. So now they're not helping off at all. And when they overload a side, they had Drew Holiday in the strong side corner. So they're not even really worried about that because Holiday is not the guy that's going to kill you.
How can teams be so bad when a team goes to zone? It's like they've never in the NBA. It's like we've never seen this before. Like you grow up, like all of these guys have played so much zone in their lives, matchup zones, traditional zones. They've seen it all. Like, mm-hmm. why is it that when they get to the NBA, all of a sudden it's like a foreign language is being spoken? Like, ah!
It's the rules and the principles. The zone, the Heat run, I think I call it like an amoeba zone. It's not normal. It has rules and principles that require strict adherence. There was a couple times last night where both Hawkins and Jovic, because they're rookies, botched it, and it led to wide open shots that were easy conversions for Boston. But for the most part, they stuck to it. And so you don't necessarily know where it's going to come from or how it's going to rotate. You have an idea. Like, it's not like it's state secrets, but it's harder to break down than just your situational 2-1-2 or 1-2-2 or 2-3 or 3-2. Like, it's an amorphous zone that sometimes, depending on the leverage and who it is, they'll switch.
And beyond that, how can you get beat by it last year and continue to do the same thing this year?
Because you don't have somebody who's predominantly great on the ball at drawing two. That's the issue. That's the issue. Because when you take a look at the Trailblazers with Damian Lillard, when they would face zones, number one, they wouldn't face zones all often because the primary ball handler was Damian Lillard and he could shoot out to 40 feet. But he could also break that. He would be a zone breaker. And also, Yusuf Nurkic was a great passer in the high post. So you flash Nurk middle.
You would think Jrue Holiday could handle the ball well enough.
He's not a downhill guy.
Get downhill.
He's not a rim pressure guy. That's the thing. Even coming in this season, when they made that trade, I said, this is a great move for them. Defensively, they're going to be fantastic. But Jrue Holiday is not a rim pressure guy. He does not solve. That is their weakness offensively. They don't have a rim pressure guy. Jalen, the handle's still not there. He's never going to go left. Mm-mm. Tatum can, but doesn't to the volume that he should. And his handle is not the best. It's great for his size. Again, I'm not saying, the Celtics should be scared. But if they don't come out and reestablish order very quickly,
my
fear for the Celtics goes up exponentially because me personally, I don't trust them.
Yeah, I don't. I have my
the antennas are
worries
up.
About
them. Yeah,
not for this series, but they can't go another 60 plus win season and then fall on their face. Can't have it.
No. No, God, no. The thing is, though, they're in a position a lot like the Suns. Like, what do they do? If they fall
just
short.
Just trade with the Suns.
Because, yeah, whose fault is it then?
Just start trade with the Suns. Just go ahead and just
Kevin Durant, make him a Celtic?
Guys, we're both stuck.
Yeah.
We need a way out of this.
Just, yeah, what, swap out Tatum and Brown for Durant and Booker?
And then just say, it's different.
Yeah, guess what? You'll both still lose.
I'm not against that.
See? We fixed it.
There we go.
That's what you do.
See, we need to do this for like more like world issues. Invite us to the UN. We'll solve things.
Costco parking.
There you go. Hot dog swallowing.
Can't we do... What?
I think we do still have some Joey Chestnut sound we can play later if that's what you're alluding to.
Disavow.
Hey, look, it's
disavow.
Dirt, man goes in the back of the parking lot and just houses it down. That's what happens. That's what he said.
Yikes.
Hey, we don't kink shame here, man. Coming up next in hour number three, which team has the ability to replicate what the Texans did last year and the Seattle Seahawks did 2 years ago and fundamentally change the course of their franchise going forward? Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one,
They're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.